Deacon accidentally read the wrong reading.
And I would not note that, because I've done it myself numerous times, except my homily is directly related to reading. It's a short one, so we're going to listen to two today, real quickly, from the Gospel of Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. My brothers and sisters, what is it that often precedes the reception of great graces in our life? Or what does God often do in order to prepare us to embark on a new mission in life? Or what does he do so that we might merit the reception of heavenly blessings? He leads us into the desert in imitation of his Son. Before our Lord went out and began to proclaim the gospel, which would climax in his death and resurrection, the salvation of the entire world, where did he begin? After John baptized him in the Jordan and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, it says the Holy Spirit drove him out into the desert as with a vehemence. And if we looked all down through history, the lives of the saints, something similar happened in their lives. Think of someone like St. Francis. Where did he start? You know, it's oftentimes been said of Francis that he took the place in heaven that Lucifer would have had he not rejected God. One of the highest places in heaven. We have the scene in the town square where Francis' father is arguing before the bishop. And the city is circled around him, the population of the town of Assisi. And his father is saying to the bishop, "Bishop, make him be an obedient son. Everything he has, I have given to him, and he's giving it away to the poor." Francis' father was a seamstress, a clothes maker, and Francis has started giving away those clothes. And so his father says to the bishop, "Tell him he's got to be a faithful son." And Francis says, "Father, you are right. Everything I have in this life comes from you. And now I return it." And he took off everything he was wearing and gave it back to his dad. And he says, "But now I must go and serve my Father in heaven." And he went off into the wilderness where he had no one and nothing to rely upon but God himself. It was the necessary preparation that he might learn to depend solely on God and build up something great for the church, bring about a tremendous renewal of faith. Or do you know how St. Ignatius of Loyola started? St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, one of the most spiritually powerful religious orders in the history of the church, he went and he lived in a cave for 2 years. Because he felt like that was the only way where he would fully die to himself and to the world in order to live for God. St. Benedict did something similar. St. John of the Cross, where did he write the masterful treatises on prayer? While he was imprisoned. Or you think of someone a little closer to our time, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. When our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to her, she was traveling on a train through India. And our Lord manifested himself to her and asked her to start a new religious order. She said, "Lord, choose somebody else." She said, "I'm fully content where I'm at." Mother Teresa was already in a religious order. Then she was serving the church. They were a teaching order in India, instructing all these children in the faith. And our Lord said, "No, I want you to go out on your own." Even in the present day in India, if a woman was wandering the streets by herself, what would people say? She's either insane or she's a prostitute. Mother Teresa was accused of both. God took her totally away from all that was common to her, that she would not rely upon anything in this world but put her total confidence in God. And it was in and through that trust in God that God founded through her one of the greatest orders of our time, serving the poorest of the poor throughout the world. But it started her desert were the streets of India. My brothers and sisters, the desert is not always the physical, literal desert that we think of. It might be certain crosses that God allows in our lives. It might be a period of trial or temptation. It might be a deep interior loneliness or suffering or isolation that we experience. I remember Dorothy Day, the great Dorothy Day. She one time said, "A conversion is a lonely experience." And a conversion is not always just someone entering into the Catholic Church, but it might be a faithful Catholic who goes through a deepening of their faith. And it almost always has to have some loneliness to distance ourselves from the world, to draw ever closer to God. He might bring that about through the loss of a job, through the death of a loved one. I remember my older sister, Kimberly, a number of years ago. My two sisters, I have one brother, two sisters. My two sisters are homebodies, right? All grown up, whenever they were going to do something with friends, friends always came to my parents' house. They seldom would spend the night out with others. Even when my sister Kimberly went away to college, we all thought, gosh, how's she going to do it? Right? How's she going to be that far away from home? She would call home often. Every time she would return home, it was so difficult to go back to school. She graduates college and she goes on to grad school. And she goes to an institute in Austria. And while she's there, a couple months into it, she calls home. She's talking to my parents. She says, "Mom, Dad, you'll never believe it. I've met the man that I'm going to marry." And they said, "Oh, gosh, Kim, that's wonderful. Where's he from?" She said, Slovakia. Right? They had to get out the atlas. Where is Slovakia? They thought, well, of course, certainly they're going to move to California when they're married. They had their marriage in California. They spent the summer here and then moved to Slovakia for 5 years. Kimberly one time shared with me the story that as she's on the plane flight, she begins to cry. And she says, "Lord, how am I going to do this?" She was moving to a small town of 600 people. A small town of 600 where almost no one spoke any English, and she had not learned hardly a word of Slovak. And she said, "Lord, you've got to show me, am I going to be okay? Are you going to take care of me?" And she pulled out her Bible and she said, "I ask you, speak to me, Lord." And she closed her eyes and she opened up the Bible at random and she just put her finger on the page and looked down and read the words. And it was the book of the prophet Hosea. And the words were our Lord's words speaking through him when he said, "I will lead you into the desert and speak to your heart." And she knew that our Lord was drawing her away from all that she was accustomed to. That above all else, it was a time for her to draw closer to him. My brothers and sisters, there must be these times of the desert in every single one of our lives if we are really going to give our hearts to God. This is one of the main reasons the church gives us the season of Lent. Because you and I, there was one time in my life I was able to actually go to the desert for a period of time. It was magnificent. Well, it wasn't all that great, but it was a real purifying. It wasn't magnificent in an earthly sense, but what happens in the desert? It's totally silent. Therefore, it's the opportunity to hear God like no other time. It brings about this tremendous interior purification because we can't grab onto the things of this world. This is what Lent is all about. And my brothers and sisters, who knows above all else what we need in order for our hearts to be all the more converted but God Himself? Probably every single one of us have chosen what we are going to do for Lent. One quick question. Did you ask our Lord what He wanted you to do for Lent? The reason I ask that is the following. In the last few weeks, I've had a number of people contact me. Father, what should I do? Right? Should I do what I've done the last 15 years of my life? Right? Should I try something new? I had one lady come to me and she said, you know, Father, I've been thinking about it for weeks. You know, maybe I'll do this or perhaps that. And all of a sudden it struck me, gosh, why don't I go to our Lord and ask Him what He wants me to do? Right? He probably has something in mind. She came to the Adoration Chapel here. She knelt down. She said, Jesus, what do you ask of me this Lent? And she said, in a flash, a word came to her mind. Simplify. She said, simplify? And all of a sudden that began to unravel in her mind. And she thought, oh my gosh, what could be better in order to make room for God in my life? And she began to think, you know, I'm complaining all the time that I'm so tremendously busy. I don't have to be doing this and that and the other thing. You know, if I just cut all that out for 40 days, oh my gosh, I'd have so much more time for prayer, for spiritual reading, maybe daily mass. She said, you know, I've been thinking of doing a garage sale for 25 years. I could unclutter my house. And she thought, you know, the amount of time I put in every night to making dinner, why don't I just eat a little more simply for these 40 days? A young man, a father, a husband with a number of children, did the same thing, brought it to our Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Because he's already going to daily mass, praying the rosary, making other sacrifices. He thinks, can I really take on any more? And the response he got back, I don't ask of you more. I just want you to be more attentive and present in all that you are already doing. And the first thing that came to him was the relation that ought to have for his children. When he comes home at night, why not spend a little bit of extra time with his kids? What could be a better result from Lent? Not of making all these sacrifices that he's done in the past, but bringing greater unity to his family. And just one more, another young woman, a wife and mother, brought it to our Lord. My daughter, I don't want you to do anything extra, but I want you to do all that you are already doing with greater love. Put more love into everything that you do. My brothers and sisters, as we receive our Lord today on this first Sunday of Lent, let us ask Him for the grace that this Lent might be a true desert for us, so that our hearts might be all the more purified. And if we haven't done it already, let's ask Him, Lord, what would you like me to do this Lent?